Lecture 11, The Beginning and the End, The Chronicles of Narnia, 3.
In this lecture, we shall consider the final two chronicles, The Magician's Nephew and The Last Battle, stories that relate the creation and destruction of Narnia. In our analysis, we shall focus on how the good and evil characters react differently, not only to Aslan's miracles and commands, but to his very nature and reality. Now, The Magician's Nephew is my second favorite chronicle after The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it tells the thrilling story of the creation of Narnia. That is to say, though it comes sixth in the Chronicles, it actually precedes, chronologically speaking, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And because of this, most modern booksellers publish the Chronicles of Narnia not as they were originally published, but in chronological order, with The Magician's Nephew first, then The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, then The Horse and His Boy, and then the other four. Now, I prefer definitely the traditional ordering, and that's the version I've given you, but I have to admit, and I hate to admit it, that before he died, Lewis did sanction the new ordering. I think he was going senile, but anyway, I must tell you that he sanctioned it. But I prefer it this way much better, because then when you read The Magician's Nephew, you have the surprise of finding the origin of what you already read in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, as you will see as we go along. The Magician's Nephew begins in the early 1900s, Earth years, when two children, Diggory and Polly, stumble upon the hidden room of Diggory's Uncle Andrew. Now, that doesn't sound very interesting, but Uncle Andrew is a magician, and he has in his possession a set of yellow and green rings that have the power to transport you to another world and then bring you back. Now, Uncle Andrew lusts after this knowledge of another world, but he's too much of a coward to risk the journey himself. And so he actually manipulates and tricks Polly and Diggory into grabbing the rings and sends them. Well, the rings work, but not as Andrew thought. They don't take the children to another world, but instead take them to a sort of way station. A magical wood dotted with ponds. And each one of those ponds is a doorway to another world. Lewis calls this place the wood between the worlds. Well, the children soon realize that each pond goes to a different world, so they say, hey, let's explore. They jump into a pond, and they end up in the world of Charn. Now, Charn is not a place you want to go because it's a dead world. You could still breathe there, but there's no living things. No animals, not even any insects. The sun looks like it's about to explode. Well, the children wander around through the deserted, dying streets until they come to a huge hall. And in the hall, they find a whole series of statues, and they look like kings and queens. And the beginning statues look very gentle and kind, but as you move down, they look more and more cruel, more and more selfish. At the end of the row of statues is a giant statue of a woman, a queen, who is very, very beautiful, but very, very cruel looking. And next to her is a little stand with a bell and a hammer. And there's a little inscription that tempts you, go ahead and ring the bell and see what happens. Well, Polly says, don't do it. But Diggory impulsively picks up the hammer and hits the bell. You hear a dong go, and guess what happens? The statue of that woman comes to life. And to their horror, the children learn that that woman, her name is Queen Jadis, was actually responsible for the destruction of Charn. And then she tells them, now, children, I'm going to go to your world and take it over. Well, the kids try to escape, first to the wood and then back to the earth. But each time, Queen Jadis grabs a hold of them and she's drawn in. Eventually, she's drawn right back into London, right back to Andrew's study, and she grabs Andrew and makes him into her apprentice slave, and then she sets out to take over London. And it's a wonderful scene, but luckily the kids are thinking more quickly now, and they use their rings to take Jadis back out of the earth. But they make a mistake. They don't just take Jadis with them. Uncle Andrew gets dragged in, and a cab driver named Frank and the cab driver's horse, remember this is the 1900s, the cab driver's horse whose name is Strawberry.